Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to episode 202 of Red Wings Rant, where time rates in a passionate place where your Detroit Red Wings finally have a home. That's right. We've got some celebratory topics to discuss today, including, of course, some heroic maneuvers by your head coach, the one and only Jeff Blashill. How did I know, like... That's exactly what you were going to do. Yeah.
I don't know, but I'm glad you did.
So we had some fun. I love these episodes where we get to like roll back all the negative comments that we made the last couple of days, and then we're just like, yeah, we're 500 again.
We're back in the playoff talk.
It's been like this It's been a minefield on Twitter, like giving your hot takes and whatnot. And, you know, how much time do you have on your hands if you want to throw out your hot takes? And, you know, do you want to deal with everybody? It's kind of been where I was at. And I did it this week, Mike. I was like, screw it. I'm going to put my hot take out there. And I said, you can't be mad at your team when they have the third lowest salary across the entire league, because clearly for their manager this was not a winning season. This wasn't something to...
So you're saying you know. You actually get what you pay for,
right? Yeah, exactly. So it's not you know, like you take those hard losses like to Winnipeg and you just kind of take a deep breath, go, okay, this is how it was supposed to work. But you know, instead, a lot of nasty articles coming out this week, from the pros, from our amateurs, across the board. A lot of mean and nasty tweets coming out too. So that's where, you know, that's where I was like, hey, everybody, cool your jets, brah. And you know, then it turned into a 2-hour long argument on Twitter actually ended up us coming back to what our actual points were for starting the argument. And it turns out we had the same exact point, and that was fun. So just goes to show you got to pull back on your anger. Maybe just stay off Twitter might have been my best bet, but I can't help myself.
I mean, there's so much vitriol and these high times where not only did we defeat Buffalo, but you can vote for Lucas Raymond as the last man in. Matt, you can do up to 10 ballots per 24 hours through tomorrow. So you better get cracking if you haven't voted. You do need an NHL account to go in there and do those ballots right now on NHL.com. So be prepared to get blasted with NHL.com emails, but nothing you can't send your spam folder.
Now, Mike, you say that as if all of us haven't already created like 8 different NHL
burner accounts
to make sure we can get in there multiple times.
Are you stuffing the ballot, Matt?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're swinging this, man. This is going our way. All right. So here's a shout out to Tristan that made the request before the episode even started that we talk about this, because this was a beauty. Now, I don't know if the AHL is going to come after us, so I still got to make sure we're doing this right.
We've lost Mike beyond all hope.
Oh no, that's not his request. He was, because of your Snorlax, Sam was saying it's gonna get hot in here.
It is. It's toasty in this thing. Woo! No wonder Snorlax is always asleep. It's like, you know, 2 tons of just girth.
I like, actually, before we jump into, I just want to throw these. All right, you know what? We'll transition back to these comments. First comment, Bergman's OT goal is disgusting. He should get 9 games at the end of the season like Foligno did last year. That's where I wanted to go with all this.
Do you have that queued up, man?
I don't yet, and I should have done that before I pulled up Tristan's comment.
That's all right. We'll
get a little bit cleaner, but you guys will forgive me. You know how this works. Let's blow this sucker up, Mike. This is Mike's first time seeing it. So we get, if you're watching on YouTube, God, you get the live reaction. What's funny too? Can I pull the curtain? I actually haven't watched this exact replay. So I'm just pulling up somebody's random Twitter post. Let's see what happens. Let's make sure. Let's see if this is the, I'll be all excited, right, so, if this is the correct replay. So I'll put.
Is this like a Zegras goal?
You'll see. This is a Jonathan Berggren goal.
Jonathan Berggren. Interesting. Okay, let's see what he brings to the table here.
Now this is an overtime.
Mm-hmm. Overtime. Here's
our boy taking the puck right now, breaking ankles.
Okay, there's 2 broken ankles. And
between the circles.
Whoa!
Goal.
Woo! Is he stuck with the medical bill on that one? Because, man, that guy's got to go to the hospital.
Now my problem with this, Mike, because it was so nasty. That guy has to go home to his wife, Mike. He might have kids he's got to go home to.
I don't think he's going to be going home to his wife. He's going home to an ex-wife.
I mean, it was so nasty. I mean, this is going to be one of those things if, you know, they're having dinner the next night.
He deked the blades right off that guy's skates. That was incredible.
He's looking for, you know, can you pass the wine? Just, wow. You know, babe, did you hear me?
You know,
I would, but, you know, all of our glasses are broken. Like your ruddy ankles. And then she slaps.
Wow. That's, man, we got to see that one more time. That was.
You want to see it one
amazing.
More time?
Yeah, cue it up one more time.
Let's cue it up. Let's watch the celebration. It'll just roll right through. It's Twitter. There it goes. Everybody on the podcast, I'm sorry.
It's going in the corner. Bergman
goal. Broken ankles. Skates it to the circles. I just. Wow. Look at that shot, too. It is worth it, Mike, and for anybody who hasn't seen the close-up replays, to get in there and see where he's placing the shot over the left shoulder of the goaltender, too. And it's just, you know, I mean, we are talking AHL goaltenders, so, of course, way better than I could ever hope to be. I mean, obviously, I know that. But that guy still played the puck pretty well. So I'll put it that way. If somebody wants to make mention of the fact this was in the AHL, There isn't a lot there that you would take a look at besides that guy's broken ankles, but the way the goaltender played the puck,
hats off to the Grand Rapids faithful there. That was an outstanding reaction.
Shared my
that was Twitter. Like a pro wrestling reaction. Really like that a lot.
I can't tell you guys how many times I've shared my Twitter and been so happy that
it's we the are Redwoods happy that Twitter. You made that sacrifice for us, man. We're very appreciative.
The things that my Instagram account right now is like, you like this stuff, don't you? And then I go, how did you know? And I got to curl up in a ball while I'm scrolling through.
Right. So, yeah, are we going to use that as the audition tape for Berggren? I know Tristan said maybe we'll get a 9-game cameo, but.
Oh, great. Yeah, I'm glad you asked that because I was going to move on. And that's totally what I put in the notes was that we were going to discuss Berggren. I mean, yeah, like that's the long and short of it is should he get that trial? And absolutely he should. And Tristan gets all the credit. He steals my thunder because that was our show topic for today. But yeah, he steals the point. Berggren should get that shot, not because of that goal, but Mike, because he is 0.783 points per game as a Grand Rapid Griffin right now. Yeah. And we saw Zadina and Foligno, who are at 0.6, get their shots. So, put it this, I mean, it's just we're seeing a guy drafted in the same year. So we know he's got a little bit more experience under his belt, but production-wise, doing a tidbit better as well. So, I think he does deserve that. And I think what we're seeing is a guy, especially with the elevated point production in the AHL that he's going to be getting more than just that, you know, one game. Well, I guess, you know, the injury probably didn't help, but, you know, that one game opportunity and then nothing after that. So,
Matt, most importantly, is he going to, if he gets a cameo, even if he doesn't, can we, has the propaganda video started yet? We're really pushing that incredible highlight just so that with the casual fan, he will replace the undeserving Joe Valeno as the indie darling of the Detroit Red Wings.
It better. Here's the thing. Like, what's so
that's cool, a pretty good sizzle reel.
Yeah. What's so cool about that, and Sam put it up there too. Let's not forget how that play started. He steals the puck himself. But what's so cool about Berggren and that goal and why that replay is so important is that what did we talk about all last season watching him in the SHL was his passing abilities, his playmaking. So what did he do? He came to an arguably more tough, I don't know, more physical league. We could definitely say more physical. And he just was like, all right, I'm going to go finish this game right now. It wasn't just I'm going to go score a goal. This is, I'm going to go, I got stuff to do tonight. I don't know if you guys know this. It's Thursday in Grand Rapids. It's a hot night to be in Grand Rapids.
So money night, baby. Gotta go. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. He was at Allen Iverson Academy learning how to shatter some ankles. So he's a busy guy.
So yeah, all good news this episode, because we also get to talk about Mike.
Blashill Boggle. Matt Blashill Boggle strikes again.
I like the Boggle only because everybody says Blunder, and we gotta Blunder. Differentiate. We gotta hashtag it. Yeah, this is Peggy Hill style. Is that a good reference to people? Is that trend?
It is. That's that's nice for like three people, I think. Yeah.
Also, I'm really Peggy excited because I just finished a coffee pretty late in the day. Also, got my Hop Slam. So I've mixed my high energy with the giggles. So this will be a fun episode.
I put spiced cranberry Sprite into a Brothers of Discussion mug.
Can you guys see now? This is a Red Wings rant mug that I got for my birthday, but you wouldn't know it because the person who made this is a piece of garbage and like said it would be frosted and you could tell. But when you put something in there, it kind of just disappears. And we complained to the guy and he said, "Too bad, it's part of the agreement, no refunds." So yeah, that was nice.
Oh, nice. Yeah, right. Be a repeat customer with that guy. I'm very excited to talk about Blashill Boggle.
We got to say hello to a couple folks, though. We got performance art. Hola, how you doing, my man?
PM.
Matthew Nichols, we saw the participation kick up in the last episode. I'm glad you came back. It's always my fear is like we see a name for the first time or see it get more comments and then we never see him again. So Matt, I'm so happy you're here. Plus your name's Matt. So we have something in common. We can be best
friends. Matt likes you a little bit more and I like you just a little bit less.
Yeah. If I may, when I was in elementary school, my best friends were always also named Matthew because it was, you know, and in art when we were born, it was like the most popular name. It was Matthew or Michael, depending on the year. So I would just search out the other Matthew in my grade. We would become best friends. And we hated each other after. Like, that was it. That was the long and short of a relationship. We had the same name. We were happy with that.
I always had a lot of animosity for other Michaels because they would steal my identity and then I'd be my last name.
So I forgot we had the slideshow up. So we transitioned back into banter. But let's transition back into that Buffalo game. Ace Fishing threw out there. It's going to be an exciting up and down season. Mike, to your point, 500 team going to 500. But there's no way we're catching Boston as Ace Fishing continues as well as they're playing. I am completely okay with that right now. And Ace Fishing, good for you because I completely agree. I'm on board with that sentiment 1000%. We should all be pretty okay with how the season's going right now. If not scared of how far we could fall out of a great draft spot. I'll throw this out there. Before this victory, Tristan and I were chit-chatting on Instagram, and we were talking about Prashanth Iyer's projections for us landing the sixth pick out of just struggles and dropping down the standings. And we don't have any access to where his head's at with making those claims that we're going to land the sixth spot.
It seems kind of optimistic without some like concentrated tanking.
I said that incorrectly. The sixth worst record in the league is what I meant to say, right?
Wow. Make sure I say that. That is even more concentrated tanking, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like we're better than like eight teams.
Yeah, nine.
I didn't want to overdo it, so I immediately kind of put the brakes. Like I eased the brakes on. I could see it was kind of a stale yellow coming up to a red. I don't think that we're not obviously not a playoff team, but like the last team out, I don't think we're there either. Still, probably like three or four teams that are a little bit ahead of us.
And I was talking with our boy Jesse, who used to write our blogs for us, but we were chit-chatting also today, and we were talking about like the difference between being a contending playoff team and a team that makes the playoffs. I think that's key, and you don't want to be the team that just makes the playoffs. You want to feel and be that team that's a contender. So while we were sneaking our way up the standings, that's not where you want to be. You don't want to sneak your way in, because we saw Montreal sneak their way into the Stanley Cup final, not win. Surely a lot of memories, were created last season for Montreal fans. But I don't know how great you feel like in the now as a Montreal fan, being fighting for last place. Losing your GM and just in complete turmoil at this point. Even Mike, if you look at Cat Friendly at the top of the list for salary. So just a complete, cluster in Montreal. So sneaking isn't really great. And it's worthwhile mentioning as well that Montreal wasn't necessarily even supposed to make it into the playoffs last year. So we were kind of on the same trajectory. Oh my God. I did this last
trajectory. Week. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. We were trending the same way, but you don't want to be Montreal, right? Do you want those memories of making it to the Stanley Cup finals and losing? No, I never think about 2009. I hate that so much. I was such a baby at the end of that game. I had my girlfriend at the time in our parents' house, and I stormed out of the room and started playing video games and left my girlfriend sitting with Mike. You know our dad. You can guess how much fun that was.
Yeah, especially when Detroit sports are going well. If we're, this Prashanth Iyer estimate that we're going to get the sixth worst record in the league, right now there's only, we're like the 11th worst team. So there's like, 10 teams, and then, there's Seattle. And we're in there, right?
Yeah.
So I guess my question is, knowing that I feel like most of the people listening to the show, what was the comment that you brought up? And we kind of went down this rabbit hole about them playing positively. You just brought it up down here in the video.
You mean one of the comments?
Yeah.
We were just talking about not necessarily wanting to sneak into the playoffs, right?
Yeah, we're not going to. I was going to reference whoever that was and just say
Ace Fishing.
Ace Fishing. No, I was going to say, here's the tough thing. How comfortable are you knowing what the outcome is going to be as the 11th worst team in the NHL, where you're not getting one of the hot sizzle picks, went through, one through, we'll say like four. That's where all the top centers are probably going to get drafted. And you're also going to miss the playoffs. So the most that you're going to get out of this season is our players learned how to win a little bit. They learned that they're not a historically awful team. they can, you know, ice a competitive team. They can win some home games. But you're what are you adding for your Red Wing future as a franchise if you're not going to get a good pick and you're not going to be in the playoffs?
Well, I'll say this, at that spot, and I'm going to pull up. I'm going to do this. It's not going to work with our regular slide. Tristan, throw down your thoughts in the comments here, because I'm going to pull up what you sent me as your very, very early mock draft. Or you know what? I don't have to do that. I can just do this. Actually, yeah, Tristan, still give me your, let me know you're okay with it. Because we were chit-chatting, like I said, on Instagram, and then this came up, and then that's where the Prashant conversation went. while we're waiting to hear from Tristan, oh, look, he's even talking about it in the chat. Don't bet on it, Mike. One of the top six centers in this draft will fall to us, whether it's Nazar the Third, Kiki, or Lambert/Lambert. I still haven't gone to Elite Prospects to get that right. So, because Tristan's saying that, I'm just gonna assume he's cool with this. So, Tristan, I'm sharing your stuff just because hemming and hawing is okay. There he goes. He's good with it. But yeah, this was his example of putting together a draft where I would say the end game here. We wanted to see Brad at number 11. I think you and I have been pretty high on him since we started talking the NHL draft. So I at least want to give Tristan props here for finding a way for, I mean, look, Geeky's at 12 too. So finding a way for each one of these teams to figure out a top level prospect and fill a position of need. And we still get two chances at a center. So there's at least a couple examples here for how we could do that. And I think we're still probably going to have a better pick than number 11, if I may. Guys, feel free to send me your mock drafts and we'll make a whole segment about it. Sorry, yeah, I put you on the spot here, Tristan, but this is a beauty. I saw Tristan share this on Reddit too, and it got like a million likes. So good on you, Tristan. It was funny seeing it on Reddit because I was like, wait a minute. I know
that's
that.
It's a pretty ideal scenario, right? Because you're still showing, you know, maybe prospective free agents. Hey, we're a competitive team, right? We're just a couple guys away. You know, we're right on the cusp. We figured out how to win at home. We just got to figure out how to get these road games, you know, on the right side of the tally sheet. So you're right. Still, like, at that point, you are competitive. And, my God, our dream scenario, Lambert, we're going to call him Bra Lambert drops to 11, and the Red Wings get their center.
So I will throw this out there. I wanted to put this idea out there, like Craig McDonald throws it out there. He is falling in the draft, Brad. We also had another guy fall to us, and I'm not going to call out the conversation of Zadina right now, but I want to call out, is there, you know, if a guy starts falling like that, is that a problem? Like, when do you start to say, like, well, I'm still taking one of the top guys that was, you know, ranked top five at some point, so I'm still going to be getting a good prospect, or, and this is us as a fan. Obviously, Steve's doing his own work. I'm not saying Steve should be concerned with what other teams are drafting. He's gonna have his own plan. But us as fans, Mike, are you gonna be worried, or are you gonna go like this? I like Matt's point here. Any Yzerman pick will be a good needed player. So how are you gonna feel if we get a guy like Brad who has fallen quite a bit?
I will feel confident that at that draft slot, Yzerman will at the least be drafting the 11th best player.
Very, very political there, but I like it. Because I'm with Matt there. Like, it does kind of feel like I wanted to bring that up because you can never tell what's going on with these draft picks. I mean, for God's sake, the Shane Wright conversation right now is insane. That people, you know, like, they share the central scouting results, and then all the comments are Shane Wright is not the number one prospect in this draft. And that, you know, that's a lot of people sometimes trying to be the smartest guy in the room. And the room is Twitter, but you know, I'm just saying, like, that's how crazy this stuff can get. And, you know, we've also got 1,000 different, like we've mentioned before, places to get your draft information. And I always recommend everybody goes to Elite Prospects and turn it into data. Find the consolidated report. you know, like, take everybody's thoughts and turn it into a number. Don't worry about somebody's narrative that they've put together, because that consolidated report is probably the best way to put that together. Because our boy Lucas Raymond was pretty high on that consolidated report. I'll throw that out there. all right. Not more at cider, though. So, you know.
So I guess so far it looks like it's a consensus that people are going to call this season. And I think game to game, as long as you're watching home games, game to game this season still feels like a success. Even if at the end, no playoffs, and you're not drafting high, but we still have the Yzerman, you know, like talent assessment up our sleeve.
Right. Yeah. My follow up is, I completely agree, but it's blowing my mind how many people are kind of on the other side, where I think they got the taste of success and now they're mad when things aren't going 100% in the right direction. And I think it's just one of those things, like, you know, where do we start and stop giving credit from one side or the other? And that's where we can finally come back to this conversation and our brand new lines, which, Mike, before the game, you had to give a soft, cold take. You had to be careful, because who knows what was going to happen. And not a lot of people were guessing that it was going to be a 4-0 shutout with the top two lines being the point of conversation, putting in our goals. How about Rasmussen as well? Like, can't ignore that. And it is kind of scary, Mike, as we I'll just throw this out there. I don't want to do another 40 minutes of Dina conversation, but the best Rasmussen's on ice numbers were when he was shooting out of the penalty box. The rest of the night, not so great.
I know, but that sizzle reel. Just stick with the sizzle reel.
And I'm not dogging Rasmussen with that comment. Talking more about that third line as a whole. But you know, that happens. The third and fourth line, I don't want to say that they should struggle, because clearly Buffalo's third and fourth line actually, you know, would finish the game. If you were comparing those four lines playing each other, would actually finish with a better result. They just, you know, thankfully Buffalo doesn't have the depth to score on the fourth line. So that's how that shook out. I'm just throwing that out there, because I know most of the conversation we want to be about the top six and about these defensive pairings. But I just had to throw that out there. Like, we got a Rasmussen goal.
Obviously the recency bias is going to factor in, and you got to kind of ignore you're only playing Buffalo. But for some reason, man, first of all, like, Bertuzzi really felt like unlocked with this new lineup. Sometimes I forget what an excellent playmaker he is. You know, like his play for Fabry, that amazing pass to get Rasmussen coming out of the box. And, you know, obviously he scored too. But, you know, I feel fairly confident about that first line getting some point production. I feel pretty good about that second line. And the weird thing is, something about that Zadina and Rasmussen and goddamn Ernie, something I just, for some reason, I don't know why I have these weird, like, kind of hairs up my spine going up, like, man, maybe this will actually work out. They'll be productive. Man, is there anything to those tea leaves?
I think so. I think especially if the second line kind of looks as fun as it did yesterday, then you can, I mean, we're still looking at a Bertuzzi that we were looking at those player cards. So, like, analytically, how does he test out? Well, Dom Lechizen's Jesus Christ. All right, he said his name is Loose Chicken. So Dom Loose Chizen, got it. Woo! All that hop slam. This is a strong one. Tested him out as a nearly $10 million player. That's a lot. So Bertuzzi is key here in getting moved, because what you wanted to see was the production. Now, you know, we had power play production, but what you wanted to see was him just not completely disappear now that he's on the second line. So what 1,000% did not happen was him disappear, right? Like we still saw that second line all night, and I'm trying to pull up the numbers so we can actually talk about it and I'm not just pulling things out of my butt. But that I think that's the important thing, right? Because we're looking for, and we've talked about it all season, you can't just have one line go out there and hope that you're going to be competitive. You're looking for a second opportunity that could build into your third and fourth line sneaking in a couple of goals because of the way that line changes will work out and pacing and things like that. So, I mean, you never go into a game hoping for those third and fourth line goals. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that the way things shake out, if you can put out those top two lines, be more competitive and be be two legitimate scoring lines and not just your second line, right? It's not just having a good first line and then this happens to be your second line tonight. I think it's just the domino effect and it all falls down that way. So back to that conversation about who struggled. I guess I could pull this up, but I just want to read this off. Starting with Adam Ernie, Rasmussen, and Joe Valeno, and Javonte Smith snuck up there, and so did Sam Gagner, snuck up to the midpoint of our expected goals for percentage. But yeah, so it wasn't all gravy, but you still had some pretty good performances. And I think the Javonte Smith one, huge asterisk here, 6 minutes. So any excitement from like a solid game from him, we could throw that out there. But Tristan nailing it here. Ernie sucks this year. It's not great. And I'm going to look up
if we're going to do a vote number for least valuable player. Is it a tie between Ernie and Javonte? Because Javonte, he's like the human 5-minute major. All he does is go out there and get a penalty that puts him in the box. Usually more minutes than he's actually getting ice time.
Yeah, you just have to take that up with all the folks that love all the fighting.
We need more forces on this team.
Yeah, like that's your argument, right?
Yeah, that antiquated, team management philosophy. I don't understand it.
So yeah, we're paying Ernie 2 years, $2.1 million. And I think at the time we talked about it and said, it was a smidge of like an overpay, I think, based on his numbers over his career. But now it's really going to hurt. Now it's, but it's still $2.1 million. So it's definitely forgettable, movable, won't hurt us that bad. And especially since he'll be gone when we have our more important contracts coming up. You know who I'm talking about, our rookies. So, Ernie, it looks like that was a flash in the pan. Be really nice to see that third line get the Ernie for his, 10-game point streak last season. But
you're absolutely right in that phrasing where you said a flash in the pan. But can I just remind you what that flash in the pan was?
Sure.
We acquired him from Tampa Bay. His first year, he played 56 games, got 5 points. Then the next season, his age 25 season, he played 45 games in one of the weird COVID seasons. Finished the year with 20 points. So was it a flash in the pan? I just don't know if there's a lot of flash in that pan. That's all I'm saying.
We had that little chunk, that 10-game chunk, where it was like, ooh, what if this is Ernie? I did want to throw this into the conversation, too, with these lines, with the update here. Matt threw it out there. Where does Verona go? I'm gonna say I might think this is an easy question to answer, right? Like, I'm putting a Mystikov back down, and I'm fitting Verona on that first line, and I'm keeping our Guelph Storm boys together and Fabry, Suter, and Bertuzzi.
Yeah, I wouldn't be against that. Who says no?
Vladdy.
I wouldn't mind Verona on the second line. And Bertuzzi has, played really well this year with Larkin and Raymond. So I wouldn't mind getting the band back together for that. But, it's not really a bad option. We just know he's going to be in the top six at sub capacity when we do the Blashill Boggle here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting episode when we really have to.
I think his return does guarantee Zadina's, third line or lower.
The argument has always been you got to put Zadina with.
Got to put him on those Verona coattails
at some point. Yeah, even though you know, his 2 points and his 13 games playing with him.
I don't know. Even though I feel like you kind of, yeah, I feel like you kind of debunked that, and I think we're going to have to bring it up again when Verona comes back.
Right, and I still think Zadina probably needs a real test. Like, I know a lot of people ask, like, why didn't Zadina get that opportunity? So, you know, just to put the period, I guess, on that, for Verona, I think the more interesting conversation for us is going to be, besides Verona heading to the first line and possibly seeing, like, a super skilled, like, let's just go super elite on that first line. Let's not play these games of, you know, I remember Blashill trying to say he needed a big guy. He needed, you know, some power on each line. But let's just put Verona, Larkin, and Raymond up there. Let's, you know, let's see what 50 goals looks like. Anyway, the more interesting conversation will be how everything shakes up underneath that. Because if the second line still looks like it has chemistry, moving past, you know, another game with Buffalo on Monday, you could. You know, we already made the argument before the season started that line had to get a legit shot through the season, the Guelph Storm line. And I made that argument because I thought you're breaking up more offense. If you could find some chemistry in that being your second line, you could, you know, break up some of the offense across the rest of the lineup. And I think that would afford you those opportunities, because then you're talking about a third line that is Zadina, Rasmussen, and Namestnikov instead of Ernie. And then, Mike, you can move Ernie down to the fourth line and just get Giovanni Smith the F out of there, and you'll be golden. Then you've got four scoring lines ready to go. Boom. You just needed
for pretty nice.
Yeah. It's going to be smooth sailing for Blash after that.
Now, who moves down when we get Hurdle at the deadline? I'm just kidding. That's not it. We're not giving up anything for Hurdle the third. Hey, the NFL playoffs are here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is kicking things off with a huge offer. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, new customers can get 56-1 odds on any wildcard team to win their game. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team's victorious. Don't forget that part. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you still have something to play for this wildcard weekend. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Football Contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN to get 56-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code THPN. This wild card weekend at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Question, Mike. Why did Namestnikov get the opportunity instead of Zadina on the first line? Did some digging, going back to December 1st, arguably the end of our strongest point of the season and moving into our weakest point of the season. Mike, you're leader, which this will lead us into another conversation, because as you'll notice, nobody on the team was an over 50% expected goals for player from December 1st till today. Nobody, but you're number one, Mike, Vladdy. So who got elevated to the first line? Could make the argument it's because of
our top goal scorer, kind of.
Our top, right? Our top
guy you'd expect a goal from. Yeah.
Well, and also, like, if you want to, like, go, come on, he wasn't our top offensive producer in that time. The expected goals for per 60, he actually led the team as well. So if you want to take out the defensive aspect of that expected goals for percentage, go right ahead. Because the Namestnikov was your top performer expected goals for per 60.
In fact, I'd argue the more you read these stats, the more we should be mad at Blashill for not promoting him sooner.
And actually, I think he was third in actual goals for per 60 in that period as well.
I just want to throw out one caveat.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, this makes our argument for Namestnikov. But it also makes the argument that Rasmussen and Ernie should be on the first line.
That That's true. I think, you know, this is where you kind of look into the goals for per 60, and then you can kind of make some assignments there. Plus, Vladdy's more of a winger than Rasmussen is, even though he saw some success. So, there. I won that argument.
Ha! Yeah, Carter Rowney over Bertuzzi all day.
You can't even put him in right now, so you're not, you know, get out of here.
Giovanni Smith over Lucas Raymond. Woo!
Look, the reason I did it is because the main argument to giving Zadina more opportunities is because of his underlying analytics. Mike, you see 14 players here from December 1st. Do you see Philip Zadina on this list? No, you do not. I will help you
unless,
out.
Unless there's an alternate spelling for his name.
This would be great right now if you're like, yeah, he's number three. Wait.
Ignore that guy. Yeah.
All right.
Ignore the man behind the curtain.
We're deleting that from the podcast, but the live version we'll have to delete. No, but he's not on the list, Mike. We're not talking about a guy for the struggling Detroit Red Wings, a guy that would even make it in the top 14, which I'm sorry, I should know what number he is, but that's good enough, right? He didn't make it in the top 14. Expected goals for percentage from December 1st. So just putting it out there, there may have actually been some strategy to pulling in Domestikov beyond all of his empty net goals that make his points look better. All right, where were we?
Hey, I mean, if you get enough empty net goals in the video game, your overall still goes up. So at the end of the season. So there you go.
Plus, you know, like, think about it too. These statistics are for even strength. You get an empty net goal, it's not even strength. So is that even helping this number go up? It is not. So bingo, bingo. Got to throw that out there.
Plot thickens.
Yeah. I don't know what the main point is there, but it's just kind of like cool your jets. You know, Namistikov's on the first line. I think it just goes back to like not being so angry about different experiments during this season. But, Mike, as we just mentioned, nobody on the team was above 50%. So let's keep that conversation going. Who is doing great? It's Nedeljkovic. Mike.
Hey, look at this guy.
Last month, he is second in the league in goals saved above expected. He's right at the top two in save percentage and our adjusted save percentages, as you can see on this table here. If you guys are on watching on YouTube, you can actually see this. It's Freddie Anderson of Carolina is the only goaltender performing.
That is incredible. Right, that is an incredible statistic. That Carolina's like, no, we want the number one guy. We didn't want the number two guy.
Oh God, you're right. Oh, this is
we so know what we're doing, Iserman. All right, we're getting the number one goal. You can have number two all the live long day. We're taking number one, buddy.
Oh, Mike.
Yeah, go ahead and play that stupid clip. Oh, you don't have to ask them. Yeah, you want to ask us? Who's number one? Yeah, Freddie Anderson. Suck it.
Boom. Wow. Yeah, I didn't bring it up for that reason, but
I know who does bring it up. The GM of the Hurricanes.
All right, but Freddie Anderson, $4.5 million, Mike. You had to spend more to get that smidgen better.
You get what you pay for.
You're such a piece of garbage. That was beautiful. I'm sorry. I'm so proud of you right now, and I'm so happy you brought that up. That never crossed my mind bringing these stats up earlier today.
Spoken like a true Iserman fanatic. Is he number one? I didn't even.
All right. We had a lot of conversation here going on in the chat because I had all these tables I wanted to bring up today. Ace thrown out there. Will Blashill keep those lines on Monday?
Hell yeah, he is.
I can say that Ansar Khan said that the same lines went out during practice. So,
we're not going to be in Canada for a little while. So I feel pretty confident we're going to see those same lines and let it ride while they're hot. Absolutely. Ace fishing. We're going to see those again.
All right. Well, what else do we have to talk about today, Mike? There's always we had some rookie scoring last night, but I decided since everybody's on the Trevor train, that we should take a peek at how Trevor's doing since the new year. It's not so great. Not so great, Mike. Not so great. Now, Lucas ain't doing so great either, but we know he's leading in points, so he's got that. But Moritz Seider here, the lone rookie, still performing above 50% since January 1st. So if you guys are going, wait a minute, you just pulled up statistics that said nobody's above 50% since January 1st. So not a ton of games, but Moritz Seider's your boy. 56.54% for expected goals, 4%. I only bring this up. Same reason I did it for Zadina and Namestnikov for that argument. But everybody was saying, so what if Lucas Raymond has more points, Trevor has better underlying analytics. No more. Lucas Seider, above your boy Trevor, Mike. Above, I love him too. He's actually, he's quite fun to watch in press conferences and stuff. But yeah, had to throw this out there because we're defending our boys at every turn. Also, good reminder here, head on to nhl.com/vote and put your 10 votes in for Lucas Raymond. So if you haven't done that yet, here's at least a reason to get a rookie in there because he's performing better than Trevor.
Matt, let me ask you this, because he's still...
Is Trevor in the All-Star game? Did I miss that? Somebody help me out.
Yeah, we got
the Ducks
representative.
I think I've been voting for Troy Terry in my Pacific Division. You know, you're going to vote for Lucas Raymond, so I got to put in some dumb vote for three other divisions.
I know.
Performance art, don't do it. Stop it. He's asking if Sedina's going to get traded. Stop it. This will be another...
Oh, God, that'll take us down to another 40-minute rabbit hole. We can't do it. I just want to focus on this real quick while we got it, at least while we got it open. So, you know, these guys kind of seem neck and neck, like Raymond and Zegras. Raymond, you know, because he's technically got more points at this juncture, he's probably still the front runner between the two of them.
Right.
I got to feel like Mo is the top D-man. But is this Nedeljkovic's to lose?
Oh, you're so good at this.
I know he's only the number two goalie, but
it's like, he's... we're brothers and you can read my mind. I don't even need to pull up another slide, but
do
you,
it.
You could be right.
Can I bring up one scary statistic? Matt, do you know the last goalie to win Rookie of the Year, the Calder Memorial Trophy? Not the Calder Cup, like I called it in our last episode.
Isn't it the Calder Memorial?
It does say trophy. I have the official page open right now.
All right. I'll give it to
Matt,
you.
Matt, take a guess at the last goalie to win. I'll even give you the team. He's a Columbus Blue Jacket. I guarantee he's a free agent in the video game.
Fudge. You know what? I know this and I can't remember. Just tell me. I just pretend I don't know it. Just say I don't know it. Oh, Tristan's got it. Ah.
Did he drop it in there? Hey, Tristan for the win. He's actually is employed right now. Oh no, he has a free agent. He's been a free agent for 2 years.
Still
it was like Andrew Raycroft, who was, you know, he's pretty good. And then Nabokov on the Sharks.
I will say I will not look into like futures for like what happens with Calder winners. I just want some joy this season, and that will give me some joy. So I know what you're saying with that. Like, let's not get excited if somebody wins. I just want joy. I just want to know we won something this year.
Also, Matt. Yes. Another fun fact.
Oh boy, was it as fun as? Go ahead.
If he is to win, I'm gonna double check this here. Wow, he will be the oldest Rookie of the Year winner. I don't think we have a 27-year-old. We do have one 27-year-old. We had Jim McFadden, former Red Wing, 1947. But, man, the last 26-year-old to win, that was Tony Esposito of the Blackhawks. Boo! So we need a new elder statesman up there. This is Nedeljkovic's. He needs this.
All right, I got to throw this out there in the comments. Craig McDonald, no reason to trade Zadina. So he's shutting down performance art if we're going to trade. I love
it. I'm not touching that.
We can't do it again.
We can't do it. No.
Although Ace Fishing did throw in there, Eisman will trade him.
And so it begins. No, we'll save that till an episode where we lose like 3 or 4 in a week, and we'll talk about that again.
Yeah, if you guys want to throw it in the comments, I think this will be fun to take the totals right now. But who right now? Like, let's just throw Trevor out in the garbage because we just proved he's garbage. Who's your Calder winner this year? Lucas Raymond, Moritz Seider, or Nedeljkovic? Performance Arts out there making the claim for Seider, which that's what I said last night on Twitter. Performance Arts says, I mean, maybe I drank the Kool-Aid, but he's the most consistent player who plays 20 plus minute against the team's best player, and he's 20. Great point by Performance Art that he also has to go. He's in the top pair, and he's got to drag around some piece of garbage, was my point. He's got to drag around a Letty, a DeKaiser, a Stahl.
Yeah, but Nedeljkovic has to drag around the whole bottom six and our bottom four defensemen.
That's true. That's true. But, I mean, like,
that's 10 guys he has to drag around. But go ahead.
At least, like, talking about, how do I want to put this? No, you're right. Because we just showed that Nedeljkovic had a great chunk of the last month of the season and turning in league-best numbers, where Seider and Raymond aren't near the league-best numbers, right? So what you got to do is ask yourself, when those guys are out there, I mean, you also have like those amazing saves by Nedeljkovic too that just blow your mind sometimes. So he's got the flash. He's got the Trevor Zegras flash.
They're like the Zegras of saves.
Yeah.
If I may.
They're pretty beautiful. We've got Siders in there. Matt's going Lucas. Tristan's going Seider 1,000,000,000%. I don't have time to read those zeros. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm going the 26-year-old.
Craig Seider. Yeah, right. You also are going with a 26-year-old. Should he even be counted in this race? He already played. He played, if you do the percentage measurement, Mike. Let's not be corporate America here, Mike. Think about, you know, how they talk about inflation has been growing at the same rate. Blah, 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 blah. Life's different than it was. Anyway.
I just want to share, there was a 31-year-old rookie of the year. And it wasn't even, it was 1990, man. Sergei Makarov.
Oh, we brought him up last year when we used to play our game.
Oh, yeah, when we had our drafts.
Our redrafts, yeah.
Yeah.
What Matt's throwing out there, he's getting a Lucas. I'll get a number 23 if he gets it. I will say this, Mike. If you guys are following along on Twitter, Do I have time to pull this up? I meant to wear it for the episode, and then I just was like, you know what? Let me just start the show instead because nobody cares. But Mike, my Lucas Raymond jersey came in. You guys want to see it?
Yes, we do. We can't wait.
It's beautiful.
I thought you were gonna put it on.
It's coming. There it is. I got my Lucas Raymond jersey in the mail. Yeah, remember? We were bamboozled. Told the story around Christmas time that some website screwed over the gift giver who was providing me a Lucas Raymond jersey, and just, you know, not in the same circles that we're in, right? So they didn't know precisely where to go to get a jersey.
They didn't quite divulge that what stage it was at. We didn't finish sewing it or dyeing it or stitching it, but you wanted it fast, so here's your Lucas Raymond jersey.
Right. Yeah, they did forget all those steps. Now, the scarf, Mike, feels, as it looks, like a burlap sack. It's not comfortable.
It reminds me of the mask worn by the chainsaw wielder in the first level of Resident Evil 4. So any Resident Evil 4 fans out there, Matt actually has some video game merchandise.
Might actually have a cosplay idea now. Might serve some purpose. It was funny. I was talking to my wife today, and I was like, halfway through saying, like, all right, well, we're sending this back, right? And I went, wait, no, we're not. We're keeping this. We're doing something.
I'll send it back.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a super bummer. So I went to
vintage. I do feel like you could sew it closed and fill it with grain and like sell it at the general store, like in the, you know, 1800s.
Yeah, there's a lot of cosplaying options for my favorite video games, including The Witcher. I could put on like a little, you know, have like a little sack.
Ooh, a little saddlebag. Yeah, for Roach.
Oh, yeah, saddlebag. So wait, then I got to get a Roach.
Yeah.
That's more difficult.
What was this website so we all know not to buy from them?
Oh geez. Well, I want to make sure I don't confuse anybody. I did just buy a new jersey today since we got our money back from our credit card company.
Nice.
So I went out to vintagedetroit.com and they got me all hooked up. I can't wait to maybe I'll do like a vintage Detroit. Man, the Hop Slam beer, Jesus. The slurring of words right now. I'll do an unboxing from Vintage Detroit, so you guys can see this pretty Raymond jersey coming my way. But this was it was like you know, NHL jersey shop kind of thing .com.
Yeah,
like, I don't really remember what it was exactly, but it's, you know, it was just one of those companies that that'll get you with a cheap price on a jersey, and then it's because they're sending you a scarf. That's how they do it. Yep.
All right. Well, we'll have them for next time. We'll shame them and make sure nobody buys anything from them.
Well, we couldn't get through this episode, Mike, and you might be like grinding your teeth right now going, I wanted to end the episode, but we couldn't get through an episode without showing some highlights from the last game, because it was a fun one. It's a 4-0 game. So I wanted to bring up for everybody, my go-to move on NHL 22, Mike, is the Lucas Raymond goal from last night. I will tell you right now, and this is a fault, and this is why I don't have a great record online, but I have a great record in the franchise mode, because this is maybe 99% of my strategy is this play. So, I mean, you know, everybody should be familiar with what's about to go down on the replay here.
With bated breath, Matt. We can't wait to see this.
Vladdy getting it up to Larkin and throwing it across the front of the net, and Lucas taps it in on the other side underneath the goalie's pads. Mike, I watched it earlier today, and I was like, wait a minute. I know that play. That's the only play I can get to work for a goal consistently in the NHL, the EA Sports NHL game. Does anybody else? Are you stuck on the same strategy? Do you not only do that one, or do you do like one strategy over and over to score a goal? Because that's me. I will purposely.
I go for the Zegras Deke or the Michigan Deke myself. One timers are cute.
I will purposely turn the puck over so I can try and generate like an odd man rush.
Well, you know, that's one way to play. I like to start behind the goalie, kind of make the puck levitate on my stick, and do kind of a magician move in front of the goalie. That's kind of my go-to.
So, another part two to this story. Brad's throwing it out there. The way Ray smashed into the boards made me cringe. Mike, here's even more cringe.
I'm surprised the board stood up to that.
You ready for this? So
I thought he was going to be Brock Lesnar taking a spear from Roman Reigns, and he's going to go flying into the crowd.
Well, I'll say this. We get this beautiful moment, right?
Yeah.
Papa Larks, baby Ray. They come together. They're celebrating. Wait, let me get rid of. I'm about to accidentally close this. And then Cider comes over, and Larkin's like, "Hey, what's up, man?" And everybody just leaves Lucas.
Lucas. Look at him. He can't even get up.
They cut the camera because they're like, "Oh, well, this isn't very friendly." And look at, there's another guy coming in from the left hand side. That's also coming in for the huddle. And Lucas is just stuck in this smorgasbord of German sausage, hot dogs from Larkin, and whoever else was coming in. And he's just got to look at that after he smashed his face into the boards to put a goal in. And nobody's helping him up. Of course, the German sausage would be most cider.
Okay. And,
of course, in reference to where Lucas's head is at this moment.
He took a pretty violent bump into the boards, so I would be surprised if he just stayed out for the next shift right there.
You could argue he slipped trying to get up himself right there. I'm not saying he is concussed, But that's not the first thought in my head after he slips trying to get up wouldn't be he's not concussed. Can I say that? so
we'll allow it, Matt. Yes.
Puts his body on the line for a goal, and everybody's just like, hey, good pass, Dylan. That's our captain. Good job, brother. And Lucas. Cue the Curb Your Enthusiasm theme song.
they did kind of leave him hanging there. I don't know why they didn't pull him up, Matt. Maybe they'll break that lineup come Tuesday. We'll see.
Brad's got it. That was Russian sausage.
I see.
Of course, like, Vladdy. Vladdy,
like really. I thought like really fast sausage. Russian.
That's good. Do you put Russian dressing on a Russian sausage? Where did that come from? Was it only deli sandwiches?
Do the Russians make sausages?
I can't picture one. There's a lot of different.
They feel like they strike me as like a blood sausage people. Is that them?
Maybe. I think that's no, that's British. The blood something.
Hmm. Well, the name doesn't make me want to try it, but maybe it tastes good to somebody. Are we ready to ride off into the sunset, Matt?
Only if you don't want to go to war. Do you want to go to war real quick?
One. You're not going to bring up a Zadina trade, are you?
No. I'm going to bring up the Rasmussen goal because the way he finishes up his celebration at least is a prettier note than poor Lucas laying on the ground. of course, we got to cheat here so we don't get kicked off by the NHL. Rasmussen coming out of the box after. Whew, I mean, total for the game, Mike, we're all talking about what a great job Rasmussen is doing, getting better at hockey, right? Also, let's not forget, in the box three times in this game for effing tripping calls. Damn it.
Yeah, but he looks good with like a five-stride head start.
So here's Rasmussen, scores, and this is where we go to war, because this was beautiful, because clearly a lot of frustration being vented there. Rah! I was a huge fan of that celebration. Look,
did you see on that break? I forgot that they do this, that they clock the speed of the skater. Do they always do that, or was that a sarcastic clock?
I did not see that. Did you see it?
Yeah, it was like 15 miles an hour.
Where?
Right there.
Current speed.
Current speed, 15 miles an hour.
Oh, my God.
So my question is, was that his
first time I've ever noticed that?
Was that his stride speed, or how fast his wrist shot went? Did it glide in at 15 on a defeated Buffalo Sabres goalie?
Well, that's how you get them, right? You throw the changeup. That's how you get those breakaways to go.
Oh my god, that was a knuckle curve at 15 miles an hour.
All right, I think I've
I think we got to pull the people. Was that 15 miles an hour Rasmussen's stride or his wrist shot?
I gotta throw this in there. This is Doctor's Sausage is what Brad tried to do. Trying to get Google. I'm guessing Google Translate to figure out some Russian sausage. All right. Brad, throw it in there. It's bad when somebody running can beat you skating. And Sam, of course, this is a great way to end the episode because we've spent too many episodes discussing trades of Zadina. Sam throwing in there. Hopefully Zadina's next to get off the schneid. Good use of the word schneid. I feel like I always thought we were the only two people that ever said schneid.
By the way, I looked up Russian sausage, and they are taking credit for the kolbasa.
That's what Brad was saying here.
Russian sausage, kolbasa. A little like the Polish one, which is a kielbasa.
Dr. Skaya Kolbasa.
Not to be confused with the instrument, which is actually a kielbasa. Kielbasas are maybe my favorite instrument because it looks like a little face with two eye holes and a mouth hole going, ooh. But it's just the finger holes. You can hold the...
I got to throw this out there. Matt was talking about his plays he can't get away from. The Hail Mary in Madden 95. I mean, that's it. That's everything. I think it was Madden 64 was just running backwards for a second and doing like your own curl around as just do a run play. run a couple yards back, right? And then you could just scoop yourself back. And especially
as long as you had somebody like, God, like Madden 03, when Michael Vick, you could just run to one side of the field and then double back and go up the other side of the field. Is that what you mean? Yeah. And he had like the 99 speed. No one could stop.
I got this just reminded me because I said Barry Sanders. If you guys want, I'm going to throw this into the chat. This is a link to the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl squares. Go ahead and click on that and you can sign yourself up. Whoops, it's going on Twitch and Facebook. Got to delete those. you guys can sign up. It's you could win $500,000. So you sign up, you know, the system actually picks a square for you, and then you'll see if you can win later. Just want to throw that in there because I wanted it on the live chat, and I'm not sure if I'm allowed to share that, but you guys can go ahead and sign up for Super Bowl squares through that link if you guys want. You can win up to $500,000 from Rocket Mortgage. So there you go. How about that? Just another reminder that I...
They're really going to feel that drip into the ocean.
There's no money to be paid for that. You can sign up for free, win $500,000. There. Said it. I think I'm doing part of my job. All right. Yeah. Shoot, I got to pull away the Hail Mary. Thanks, Matt, for throwing that in there, the Hail Mary conversation. Mike, ready to sail off? We did another hour-long episode. We're just getting longer and longer.
I don't think
there's anything else to turn in, but I am considering... since I have the day off tomorrow to do maybe a watch along. So you guys just want to make sure you hit the notifications button. So if I do a watch along tomorrow for that Buffalo Sabres game, you'll see it. But if you guys could, I see there's 23 listeners right now, 23 viewers. Hit the like button. So I better see 23 likes when I'm done recording. Thank you so much. But yeah, if you guys had fun, hit the subscribe button. If you're new to the show, we hope you had fun. We'll see you guys next go around. Thanks for tuning in. And I don't know. What's the theme of the show? Snorlax. There it is. Snorlax. All right. You guys have a nice Monday and have a good one.
Ta-ta.
Doodaloo.